You've probably heard about the movie Overcomer, but you may not know that there are a few books and Bible studies inspired by the film. One is called Defined by Alex Kendrick and Stephen Kendrick, which is a book and Bible study based on insights from the book of Ephesians. Filled with personal stories and practical wisdom, Defined will challenge you to let the one who knows you best be the one who guides your heart the most. Another book for teens and young women is called Radiant by best-selling author and co-star of Overcomer, Priscilla Shire. For these teen girls, there's also the Defined Bible Study, an invitation for teen girls and young women to enjoy a candid conversation on identity with Priscilla Shire. You can find these books and Bible studies at lifeway.com/overcomer.
Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Group Answers. My name is Chris, and I'm going to be your host for this episode alongside my long-term buddy and co-host, Mr. Brian Daniel.
Buddy and co-host. Love it. Well, 150 episodes in, right?
I think at this point, yeah, we could.
It's not. It's not 150 episodes.
Excellent. Let's see. What are we on? 117?
Well, that's more than I thought. They add up, don't they?
That's a lot of episodes. That's a lot of time sitting in this room together.
Well, not this room necessarily. Remember, we've moved from the garage to the closet to this room.
This is true. I wish we had pictures back when we were in the little studio with Robbie Gallaty.
We're going to, when they make the documentary about us, we will regret not having more photography.
Yeah. Although, here's a little tease. We are videoing some of these. A guy named Joey, he came in and videoed one or two, and he's going to video a couple more. And we are going to put them out probably on Facebook. And so not the whole thing, but you're going to get snippets. So you're going to be able to see the magic that happens when we tape Group Answers.
A guy named Joey, you said.
A guy named...
That's how you're identifying Joey Jacob.
Well, I was going to say Joey Donuts. But yeah, you could say Joey Jacob too. Here's something cool. I got an email a couple of weeks ago, and I know this podcast goes out to all kinds of places, and it's always fun to get feedback. So please, if you have feedback, the best place to do it is on iTunes. Give us some feedback on iTunes. But you can also email us. Mine is chris.surratt@lifeway.com. And I got an email a couple weeks ago from somebody in Australia that said they listen to the podcast. They love it. It helps their ministry. So good day, mate. Right? Was that good?
Yes, okay. That was great.
I'm trying to be local.
I think that's a good start.
All right. I think that was a horrible start, but well, anyways, but we thank you for listening wherever you are, whether it's Australia or it's America or we're going to be in South Africa not too long, so that'll be fun to connect. Maybe there'll be some listeners in South Africa we can connect with.
I'm sure there will be. Yeah. We are global.
All right, so this is a special show. Very excited. I'm going to let you, Brian, introduce our guest.
We have with us for this episode of the Group Answers podcast our own Karen Daniel, who is one of the publishing leaders in the student area. Karen has been in student publishing for more than a decade. How long has it been now, Karen?
It's been more than a decade.
More than a decade. Let's go with that. Karen, down there, she's one floor down, is responsible for developing concepts, building user scenarios, and like for us, acquisitions, which is an all-hands effort. Because it just takes everybody to bring new authors in to develop authors. So welcome to the Group Answers Show, Karen, who is also, Chris, you want to say it, her additional role?
Your wife?
That is correct.
Okay. I didn't know if there was something else.
It was not multiple choice. Okay. Well, I don't know. We all wear different hats.
I think it's pretty funny that you had to read your wife's bio from a piece of paper.
Yeah, you just want to get that right.
What does that say? I think there's something there. Anyway, great to be here.
Let's open that up. What does that say? Should we have some communication? It's a safe space. in our little studio right here?
You know, I don't know what it has, what it says. It wasn't on. It wasn't on our. What do you call this document here?
Our the show notes or
yeah. Our show notes. It wasn't on the show notes, so I wanted to be sure we had something down. So I put a few things down there, and we'll go with that. I guess I could. What could I add to that?
I didn't put it on the show notes because I just figured you'd know.
I'm enjoying this right now because I don't get too many chances to put him on the spot. So
that's good. Well, this is.
There are plenty of chances to put me on the spot.
This is fun. I love the fact that you guys are able to work together in the same building. I've done that with my wife in the past for stretches. It's worked sometimes. It's not worked sometimes. It just depends on. But you guys seem to have just an amazing working home relationship. This is nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I'm curious, are you able to, like, as soon as you hit the door, say it's home life, no more work?
Not very well.
No
that would be a negative.
But at the same time, we also understand where the other one's coming from because we know each other's jobs so well. So there is an understanding there that might get lost when you don't know your spouse's job quite as well. So yeah.
So that's good. So there's some empathy, and you can actually probably help a little bit more.
Right.
Because you really know his role.
Right.
That's interesting.
And honestly, we warmed up to it. We've been doing this more or less for close to 20 years, maybe more than that. And so Karen came in as a contract worker, and then she was she was full-time, part-time, and then when the girls were growing up, she was a contract worker, so there was some overlap there. And so it wasn't like she just dropped in and we were working together. We've had years to build up to it. But our teams work really closely together. And so, yeah, it does carry over and sometimes too often into the car ride home and in the evenings and mornings and every other time.
Yeah, that was our problem. But it probably helps you're not in the same department.
Yes.
You know, if you're in the same, like, I've worked in the same department with my wife and there's just too much there. So, all right. So let's get past the relationship talk, although that was interesting. Another podcast for another time. We are talking about students and student groups. And Brian, you've got an interesting list to kind of kick us off.
In the spirit of student ministry and millennialism, is that a thing? And what the would-be Zennials or Gen Zs?
I haven't heard Zennials.
I think that's really cool, though. Yeah. I like that term.
You may have started something.
And who knows? You know, a lot of times we don't define generations until somewhat after the fact. I think it takes some time maybe for things to take shape. But I came across this article in the news feed, and it's 30 things millennials are killing off. And by the time you get to number 30 in this, I feel like it was a reach with things like mayonnaise. I think someone got to 26 and said, I really need four more, and came up and reached deep into their Google searches and found mayonnaise.
But I'll say my daughter, who is basically a millennial, hates mayonnaise. Well, so that may be evidence.
I think some of it is their health consciousness. They seem to be more health conscious than other generations, and I don't really understand that.
Yeah.
Because I guess that's true of everyone now, but they've grown up in that conversation like others maybe didn't. Right. So number one, and these aren't in any kind of order, just get some thoughts. Canned tuna, which probably should have been number 28.
I don't understand that at all. I have not seen evidence of millennials not eating canned tuna. I guess I don't know.
I think it's the mercury levels.
Is it?
Yeah, and just again, it's that health consciousness. How about oil?
See, I would think the opposite because it feels like essential oils.
What CBD kind of oil? Oils. I think we need clarification. Yeah.
Well, but millennials are ready to ditch this dirty and deadly fuel in favor of literally anything that won't kill the planet. Hmm. How about this one, which might strike near and dear to some hearts in this room, but certainly out in listener land, and that's football.
Hmm. That's because moms are worried about their sons getting hurt.
I wonder if it's less the millennials, although it could be the older millennials.
Maybe
who
Gen
have kids.
Z is influencing that, but they're also interested in soccer now too. Soccer's taking off.
And soccer, I just read the other day, it's dangerous too. I mean, there's a lot of head injuries and concussions that go along with soccer. So millennials, while you're at it, just kill off soccer.
So I'm just curious, are they giving up football for soccer? Or are they giving up football for video games? Or what's, does it say?
Give me a second here. I have it. many millennials can imagine a life without football, and that's got a lot of people worried. It's no secret that football is dangerous, and millennial parents aren't too eager to sign their kids up for a sport that can cause serious permanent injuries and even brain damage, and kids aren't begging their parents to play either. How about it's probably fewer players because you've got gaming at home. I think there's other sports, and I think they're more interested in maybe some of the alternative sports. I think a lot of it, what comes down to, is each generation wants to own their own stuff.
Yeah.
And they might see football as somebody else's thing.
I played peewee football as a kid, and there was no talk of, you know, concussions. Concussions was getting your bell rung. And, you know, you get back up and you keep playing. It's just, it's a different deal now.
A couple more before we get on to Karen and talking about just student groups and ministry. J. Crew is on the verge of extinction. Mm. Running.
Oh, I'm on board for that.
About golf.
Really?
Pour one out for a classic round of 18 holes. New studies show that golf, long the preferred pastime of the wealthy and powerful, is not high on the list of things millennials are into.
I could see that. It goes back to injustice. I was listening to a podcast. I think it was Malcolm Gladwell. And he talked about how golf was his least, or he hated golf. And it was because the land that it takes, and it's all rich people that use it. So, yeah, I could see that.
Cereal, DVRs, razors.
Razors.
I'm surprised by cereal. Why? Oh, sugar.
Yeah.
It was my daughter's.
The sugar and the milk, I think, was listed. And then lastly, and you guys can search this, it's 30 things millennials are killing off. But the last one, how about this one, guys? The 9-to-5 workday.
Yes.
Yeah. Give it up for the millennials, everybody.
Yes. Thank you. Actually,
Thank you.
I read just the other day, the new trend is the 4-day work week.
Yeah.
That there are a lot of companies that are going to 4 days. So it's not just killing 9-to-5, but it's killing the 5-day. Here's one that I don't know if it's on the list or not, but I've seen they're killing napkins. My millennial Gen Z refuse to use napkins.
Because of just the consumer.
Yeah. They see it as a waste.
Ours refuses to use straws and plastic bags.
Yep.
Straws. She asked for paper at the grocery store, not plastic.
My daughter bought these little straws that she carries in her pocket. Mm-hmm. It's in a little box, and that's what she uses.
I will say, our millennial daughter read that list, and she came away with the comment, "I'm pretty proud of this."
Yeah, I read the list, and I thought maybe I'm a millennial.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the influence that they're having. So yeah, all right. So we probably should maybe talk about student groups.
Yeah. So this is the world that Karen and her team live and breathe in, and I think one of the things that you would have to keep in mind when you're considering or thinking about student publishing is it may be the most dynamic publishing unit. You know, kids. We have kids too, but kids is so foundational and fundamental. I think you can turn that over, but certainly Karen, wouldn't you agree, every 4 to 6 years, you've got a whole new group of, I would hesitate to call it generation, but I think that's not a stretch to say every 4 to 6 years, you get a new vocabulary, you get new music.
Right.
All those things play into what
you're
you guys
moving
do.
One group on and welcoming another group.
So in that vein, why don't you tell us, so what is unique about student groups as you guys see it?
Okay, so we'll start with that. Given that any student minister would see that as I've got 6 years, best case, to reach these students, he'll start with a strategy. There's going to be things that he's going to want to hit on within discipleship, topics, books of the Bible, you know, different areas that he's going to want to make sure that he introduces his students to or her students to during that time that they're under his wings, so to speak. So that's a good start. Whereas with adult groups, it depends on what the adults are looking for specifically. Each group might be looking for something different. There may not be an overarching strategy, you know, over the course of 4 to 6 years. Whereas students, there is definitely a strategy for the things that we want to discuss with them.
You have a finite amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get them through a scope and sequence.
Yes.
And then prepare them for the next step.
Right. And with a finite amount of time, you know, a lot of student groups don't meet in homes.
That was going to be my question.
Right.
Yeah.
They're going to meet in churches probably a Sunday or a Wednesday night because that's when mom and dad are already there.
Mm-hmm.
And they've ridden in the van with mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And so beyond that, you've probably got about 50 minutes to get this, to get them settled, you know, to get them, because they're coming into that conversation, that time together with a ton of other things going on that they're talking about. They've got their buddies there, you know, million other conversations, and you've got just a few minutes to kind of get them in the zone of where they need to be to see this transformation start to take place and to get them to open up and start talking. So it's not an easy world to live in, but the beauty of it is students, and we talked about this a little bit, they're I don't know if it's this generation. I think I would like to think that our generation was like that, but they're very eager to learn. They don't always show that. Mom and dad don't always see that, but they really are eager to learn. And they're at this point in their lives where they're asking themselves, you know, what is God calling me to do? You know, they don't really have an established worldview yet, whereas a lot of your adult groups, they're walking into their group meeting with a solid worldview already formed.
So a lot more malleable.
A lot more malleable.
Yeah. Chris, when you're out and about, do you get any questions about student leadership and student groups? Does that ever come up?
It really doesn't. It depends on the type of church. I mean, I think more the traditional type churches that I'm in occasionally focus more on kind of the Bible study, student Bible study. They'll tend to have like a Sunday morning kind of Sunday school experience, but it's student groups that are doing a Bible study. And so they'll be more about that. Where the more home group type churches, I don't know that they put a lot of emphasis into student groups. It's more about the kind of big group environment, the Wednesday night or the mm-hmm. Sunday night. Now, what I do see is they'll break out a lot of times after that into small groups, but they'll have their big group time, have some small group time at the end. And a lot of times I think it gets shortchanged. You talked about the amount of time they have, mm-hmm. especially in that environment. They may get 30, 40 minutes, you know, because you'll have an hour worship time, preaching, and then you really just have about 30, 40 minutes that you can get together with a small group of, mm-hmm. of students. So, you know, that's kind of the two extremes that I see. And I was curious if you guys know of home groups, student home groups that work, where they do it in a home, because I just haven't experienced that.
It's not something that I hear much about. Usually the people that I'm talking to at conferences and things like that, they are meeting at the church.
Mm-hmm. It seems like to me, just listening to you, Chris, and just given what I know and based on just our interaction, Karen and I, just as we're doing life, the student ministry is kind of insulated. It is yeah. apart and different. And another thing that it seems like I've picked up is, I'm going to put it this way, it feels to be more event-driven. And that doesn't mean that every time student groups get together, it's an event. Mm-hmm. But just listening to Karen, you talk about the resources and when you adapt to ours, the changes you make, it needs to take on more of an occasion mentality, whereas adult groups do get together just for the sake of discussion. Mm-hmm. Students get together to be somewhere and to be a part mm-hmm. of something. Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
It is fair. And we also, if you think about it, we create resources that go along with an event. For instance, we're looking to release some new DNOW options in August. And that's resources for a retreat setting or a DNOW setting. So you're right. I mean, that is an event, but it's also a resource.
What's a DNOW?
I'm sorry, it's a disciple now.
And it should already be available,
long-time
right?
language. It'll be available in August.
Okay.
It's pretty common among SBC and a little outside of SBC, but it's disciple now weekend retreat. Mm. Or just any kind of a retreat weekend. It doesn't have to follow that label. But it's basically where students will get together from, you know, Friday night on to late Saturday night. There will be host homes, and there'll be large group times, and then students will be in their host homes, mm-hmm. and they'll be going through basically about a 4-session Bible study over that period of time.
Mm-hmm. So interesting question here then. So that's as good a segue as any is when you and the team and you guys have like us, it's a relatively small shop. I guess you have a team of you know, once you figure in mm-hmm. your contributing writers and contractors, it's 7 to 10 people that are going to touch anything that you do. At the onset of development of concepts, mm-hmm. when you guys are looking at either a DNL or adapting something that one of the other adult teams has done or something that's more unique and an acquisition that your team has made. What kinds of questions are you guys asking yourselves as you begin that process?
It starts with listening to student pastors and the student leaders who are out there. So I think that the easiest way to go about it is to see what the needs are and what we don't already offer. You know, so there might be, so recently in the last few years, we released a girls' study on friendship. It's taken off because who doesn't want to take their group of girls through a study on friendship, you know, and understanding all the ups and downs that come with that and what the Bible has to say about it. But then you also have the strategy. You know, you've got these 4 to 6 years. And so they're looking at, I want to be able to go through a purity study where True Love Waits would fit in. And they want to be sure that all of their students go through this. They usually offer it once every couple of years or maybe every January, February, leading up to Valentine's Day. They also, you know, we want to make sure that we're giving them discipleship resources because a lot of student ministers are trying to call their students to action, not just to be hearers, but to be doers of the word. And so they're looking for, how can you help me do that? And so it's really on us not to do the work, but to provide the resources that leaders need and are looking for. So a lot of that comes from conversations on, you know, where are your students right now? What do they need? And staying in touch with that community and those ministers to know what gaps we need to fill. Most recently, we are looking at next April, we'll be releasing a new evangelism study by Jimmy Scroggins based on his Three Circles evangelism strategy. And we look at the different ways that that can be used and the different groups it can be used in. I would love to see this not just used in Bible study groups connected with the church, but maybe they can take that out. Some students who are leaders can take that into their schools, maybe in the schools that will still allow it these days. They can have a before school Bible study that starts at maybe 7:30 before classes start, or a See You at the Pole kickoff, things like that. So there's lots of questions that we ask. We want to meet students where they are. We want to resource student ministers so they've got everything that they need to develop their strategy and to complete that in their students.
So what are some ways that you guys stay in touch with the local church? You talked about knowing what the student pastors need. And, you know, I know across the board with Lifeway that local church is so important, mm-hmm. but specifically for you guys, what are some ways that you get that knowledge?
Okay. So, you know, like Brian said earlier, acquisitions is a team effort. Mm-hmm. This is a team effort as well. So it comes from our own experiences in church. As you know, we offer Fuge camps and World Changers, so many camps throughout the summer where our team is, you know, at these camps a lot of times. We're talking with the speakers, we're talking with the student ministers who are there and have brought a group. We are constantly plugged in. We're not just behind a desk working mm-hmm. on Bible studies all day. You know, our leadership is in the mix. They're leading these camps. They're speaking to student ministers. They're bringing them in. So we have conferences about once every 3 to 6 months where we bring student pastors in and talk through specific resources and what they're needing, what we can do better to meet their needs. So it's just a level of engagement that...
Yeah, that's good, because I think a lot of times the mindset of a publisher mm-hmm. is that they don't really know what's going on
right.
at the ground level.
Yeah.
You know, they used to do it,
yeah.
you know, and then they decided to do this. But I see that around the building with all the different yeah. ages, and I do it with small group leaders. We have periodic things where we bring them in, yeah. but it's important that we stay in touch with the local church.
Absolutely. And like our leadership is, they're not just publishing leaders or events leaders. They are actually student ministers. Mm-hmm. And kind of like, you know, Brian has his own groups, you know, small group, you know, yep. frequently. We are, just about everybody in our department is involved in student ministry in one way or another, and not just publishing resources for them.
That's great.
So follow-up question about just product, just how you develop ideas and given this idea. And I think in fairness, Chris, we should add that Karen's role is we call it short-term discipleship, but that would be different than the publishing team that creates the resources for a traditional on-campus Sunday morning group.
Right.
So she has the luxury, and this catalog of resources has the luxury of being able to be more maybe timely and issues driven. And I know when I was growing up, and when probably all of us were growing up, it's getting to be a good while ago.
I think we're like the same age.
Yeah,
so
that's right. A little scary. But I remember sitting in Sunday morning, and every discussion ended, or somehow included or touched upon drug use. It always came back to that. And that, for our generation, it was just this. I think the adults were really scared of just the drug culture and their kids getting involved in the illicit and illegal drugs. And I remember, like, even before that, it was like rock and roll
issue. Backward masking.
Yes. In rock and roll.
That's right.
Backward masking. We watched the movie in my youth group.
Own the book. I tried to make my records go backwards.
I know. I remember when a Christian group Petra did it on purpose. So it was like, we're taking it back.
That's right. So every 4 to 6 years, I think you get a new one of those, right? So, you know, that contact with the local church has got to keep you guys. Mm-hmm. And so is that something that you keep your ear to the ground on with? So what are these hot topics? Because you and I, you know, our girls have, I mean, they're not that far removed, but it doesn't take very many years. And Chris, you're right, getting there before you are really kind of out of touch.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's just that just naturally emerges from that engagement. It really does. If you're involved in student ministry, those topics are going to naturally emerge.
All right. So tell us, what studies have you guys released in the last, you know, season, mm-hmm, that you feel like have really worked in this way?
Okay. So this is such a difficult question for me because I love so much every single study that we release. And it's just, they're all my children and I can't pick favorites. So, but there are some that do stand out with groups. One of them, and this is another conversation, maybe another podcast for another day, but one of them is Seamless by Angie Smith. And so this was adapted. This is one of ours that was adapted from the women's study. But what she does so beautifully in this Bible study is she threads the story of the gospel all the way through it from beginning to end. And not just girls, but women who go through it come away from this knowing, it's like, wow, I never realized how everything was so connected before. Mm. And that's a beautiful way to teach girls the importance of Scripture and how it fits in their lives and how it all fits together as a whole. So that's been a standout study for us. But again, that Seamless, we've actually had some people use it with their guys and ask us if they could just, you know, do something about the pink cover because it's great for guys as well. but that would be a standout. Always our True Love Weight studies. You know, they meet a specific need.
It's amazing. That's been around for so long.
It has been around for a long time.
It's still a big deal.
It's still something that student pastors are looking for and they're looking to take their students through, if not yearly, then every couple of years. Mm. So those are always standout studies. And with each one of those, we try to approach them a little bit differently. You know, last time we looked at culture and how culture influences it. You know, influences purity. Before that, we looked at how Scripture spoke into purity. We always apply Scripture to all of our Bible studies, but there's just different angles we come at from time to time. Another one that we released just in the last couple of years is called Feed the Dog by Brock Gill. I don't know if y'all are familiar with Brock, but he's an illusionist and travels all over the country, actually all over the world. And he's got it's evangelism for the most part, but he speaks to a lot of groups, particularly student groups. And through his gift of being an illusionist, he presents the gospel. Hmm. So we were able to take his way of teaching and sharing the gospel and capture that in some video with some illusions. And so that has hit a whole different group of students that are fascinated by that.
See, I would be in that group.
Yes.
When I was a kid growing up, I checked out every magic book in the library.
Exactly.
I was fascinated by illusionists. So, wow.
Yeah. That meets a need. We have so many times people ask us, what do you have for guys? You have a lot of stuff for girls, but what do you have for teen guys? Mm. And we do have studies for teen guys. They're just not used quite as often. Because guys, it's different to reach guys, but that study in particular has been a good seller for the teen guys.
That's cool.
In churches.
That's awesome.
Also available now, I'll are two studies associated with the movie Overcomer that was released last month, mm-hmm. and they are called Defined. And to Karen's point, and you guys, it's interesting how you guys, you have some things that are like, I guess you'd call them co-ed groups, mm-hmm. but girls and guys, and then there's some that are uniquely girls and some that are uniquely guys. Mm-hmm. And those two studies on the nature of identity mm-hmm. Are gender specific mm-hmm. for that purpose. So those are available. And the girl study was written by Priscilla Shire.
Correct.
And you got to work with Priscilla, and that was a remarkable experience.
It was. She's a dream to work with. Just a wonderful, wonderful person. She knows her message so well and is very involved in making sure that's what gets across. And that's just really good to have. But yes, so it's, you know, sometimes we create studies where we've got guys and girls together, but these in particular, and they both release August 1st, the concept of identity is going to be different. That conversation is going to be different for girls than it is for guys. And we, in this particular case, wanted to create an opportunity for those groups to meet separately so that they can really kind of open up with their leaders and talk about some issues that are unique to girls' identity and guys' identity.
That's good. Brian, got a question for you.
I think I know what it's going to be.
Have you listened to the 5LQ podcast lately?
I have not only listened to it, I have been on it.
Was the time I was with you?
I blew your script.
Or did you?
Because that was a rhetorical question, wasn't it?
You know, did you do this solo, or was it the time we did it together?
It was the time we did it together.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, I don't get invited anywhere without you, Chris. We're a package.
We're a package. And well, as a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family, they've recently interviewed leaders like Jimmy Mulato. I'm guessing I'm saying that right. Dahati Lewis, we did too. We had Dahati. And Carly Fiorina.
Hold on.
I can't pronounce this.
Hold on.
What?
They interviewed Carly Fiorina?
Fiorina. There we go. She was a presidential candidate, right?
She absolutely was. She was also CEO of Hewlett-Packard.
HP, yeah.
Right.
Well, they've also recently done book breakdowns on the power of moments. So just look up 5 leadership questions on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today. And speaking of subscribing, I'm taking Brian's words. We would love it if you would subscribe to ours. It makes us happy. It gives me a little bit of jolt in the morning when I look it up and there's another subscriber. So we make decisions on the shows based on your comments. So if you'd like to hear on a particular topic or something like that, make sure you make a comment and we'll do our best to make it happen.
For the love of everything that's good, rate us and leave a comment.
Rate us high.
That's all we ask is that you love us. That's all we've ever asked.
We're standing in front of okay. All right, so, that's going to wrap it up. So, Brian, you want to thank our guest?
Karen, thank you. And I look forward to seeing more of you.
Same here. Thank you guys both so much for having me on. I love talking about our student resources. So this was a fun opportunity for me.
I thought it worked, Chris. I thought it worked fine. It wasn't awkward. There wasn't any like silences.
I thought I might have to break up a couple fights. Yeah. We didn't have that.
Yeah.
Good thing this one wasn't videoed, right?
It shows up on the edit room floor, right?
Yeah.
The tension. Thanks for being with us for Chris Surratt and Brian Daniel and Karen Daniel. Look forward to seeing you next time, being with you again for the next episode of Group Answers Podcast on the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.